wondered why I hadn't recognized some of the words of that one song. I thought maybe I just hadn't been paying very good attention before. But I thought, my, there's some very good words and so inspiring. And I would have to say, along with that song, Jesus, we want to see you. With all my heart, I mean that. Because I know without any doubt that I don't have a heaven to take you to. And I'm not interested in trying to draw anybody after me, but I am very interested in helping us all to follow the shepherd. Every one of us. And oh, I think of how the captain of our salvation, and that's, I'm not good at writing on these boards. I'm very poor at doing that. So if I could borrow the chalkboard of your mind a little bit, I'd ask you to write on that, the captain of our salvation. Amen. To me, that brings some thoughts to my mind of the captain of our salvation, somebody with purpose, with intent, taking people and guiding them. You know, if you're a captain of a ship, you are interested in guiding that ship to safe harbor, to its intended goal. And I look at us humans, and I have to realize we are so human. It's difficult to separate us from our humanity. We seem to carry it in our pocket all the time, and everywhere I go, I deal with me. And I, in our human interaction, we seem like we want to be uplifting and be helpful to our fellow man, and we struggle trying not to make mistakes. And the more we struggle with our humanity, it seems like invariably either I will embarrass myself or offend you. You understand that? Am I talking past anything that you experience? I believe that we're human and we recognize that we deal with our humanity. And then we hear in these songs, I hear sprinkled in amongst these songs. And when I read this scripture, I hear this word, this little four-letter word, that's L-O-V-E. Some people think that word and its expression, the way it's carried out in life, sometimes they think that is meant to be permissive and allowing people to do whatever they want to. But I want to tell you what that love really does. That binds us near the shepherd of our soul. And gives us a power and authority and strength in times of our struggles and our humanity that we desperately need in this hour, this our day. Some of us are older than others, and some of us have had some experiences that we look back over. And have you ever had any that you look back and you cringe? And you wish you could forget. And to know all the time along this life's road, when I'm still beating myself, my head against the wall of my humanity and not knowing how to escape that, then there is still a captain. There is still a shepherd that's looking down, and he sees every bit of the things I wish I couldn't remember. And he comes down and touches us and says, with great compassion, I love you. It doesn't mean that he's encouraging us in any folly. That's not what that love does. But that love is extended to you and I in such a way that it picks us up out of that folly and begins to build on something that's called a solid rock. Something that we feel some security in the very arms of the captain of our salvation. Now, turn with me in the book of Hebrews. I want us to see two things tonight. If I can lead you in your mind to the picture. One of the I want us to see the captain. I want us to see some of his characteristics tonight and what he wants to do for you and I. It's not purposeless. It's not meandering without knowing where we're going. But the captain of our salvation knows exactly where he wants to take us. He knows exactly how he wants to lead us. Around many times the pitfalls that you and I don't see, there is still a captain who does know. And he's been affected with humanity just like you and I are. I don't mean to paint a picture of fatalism that we're always going to have to be tied to any kind of gloom. I'm not wanting pain, but we need to recognize that we are human. And in that song, there was some words that said, we need you. And we do. Young folks, I don't know where you are tonight, but in my experience, there were times in my youth, and I can say it like this, I don't mean this to sound pejorative in any way to youth, but there's something intrinsically tied to youth, and that's lack of experience. And with that lack of experience, there's a little bit of ignorance. And I don't want to use that in a way that is downing anybody. That's just the way we are. We don't have a lot of experience. There's things that we're not capable or not knowledgeable in how to deal with because of who I am. And when I was young, I can say it that way because that's how I was. I ignorantly thought I had this sense of being able to handle things. You see, I had the vigor of youth, the ignorance perhaps of my youth also, and I felt like I could just handle things. The Lord in His mercy has taught me a little bit differently than that. I've learned to lean more on Him because I've had to. The captain of our salvation loves you where you are tonight. And he's interested if we will give him the reins of our heart. The ability to set our sail perhaps differently than what we have. Thank you. Perhaps set the sail of our heart perhaps differently than what we know how to even set. If we will let him do that, he knows how to guide the rudder. He knows how to catch the wind. He knows how to guide us to safe harbor. He knows also how to help us in our personal interactions with each other. We're all here tonight, and I'm grateful for those who have put themselves at risk tonight to sing to us. It doesn't always work out well. I can tell you from experience, I've sat down from being up here before and just wished I could hide. Maybe you've never been there, but I have. And I want to tell you, I'm grateful for your love in those moments. I'm grateful for your mercy. I'm grateful for what the Lord has set within His children. His desire to paint on our life His very character. And we would see Jesus and not another man, because we desperately need him. Over here in Hebrews, the second chapter, 9th verse, but we see Jesus. I hope we do. I hope we see Jesus. I know when you read this in context, I think he was having a point that he was bringing in here. But now I want to use it perhaps a little out of context. I don't think I'm doing violence to the meaning, to what we need to see Jesus. We need to begin to see him for who he is and what he wants to do and his loving character, his purpose for me in my life. Many times we don't know how or don't know which way to go. The confusion that was mentioned also in one of the verses of those songs, the lies that would bring this type of disruption, not knowing which way to go. I want to tell you, the captain of ourselves, we want to see Jesus. Where are you, Lord? I will share with you, I don't mean to just step aside from this verse too quickly, but I would share with you something that happened recently. And perhaps many of you have heard, my daughter-in-law experienced a healing. And I won't go through all the details, but it was miraculous. It was something that was real. It was tangible. You could almost feel it. It was instantaneous. It was one of those things that God showed up. And when you see that, what do you do? What do you do with this knowledge? I want to see Jesus. When we see Him, it has an impact on my soul that I cannot deny. I cannot deny it. What do you do with a God that answers by fire? You bow and say, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And where are you walking, Lord? Because I want to walk where you walk. I'm convinced beyond doubt. Any chance of doubt, I'm convinced. I see you. We have a captain. We have a lover of our soul that's interested in leading you and I through and around all the things we're dealing with in our mind today. And the world is kicking out many things to abrade our mind or chaff us or try to lead us in some other direction. But we see Jesus. He's interested in giving the captain of our soul. He's interested in guiding us around all these places of confusion or whatever the devil would try to bring. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. What does that mean? I think He was made like you and I. He was made human. Have you ever felt like that whatever you're going through, nobody else has ever gone through? I remember one time in my natural struggles of learning how to walk with the Lord. It's natural. I want you to know next time, young people, that you feel like that the devil's just really willing you around. That's kind of natural. But there's still a captain. And in some of that struggle I was going through and wondering, you know, I talked with Brother Clifford Wilson. He was our pastor at that time. And he looked at me and in kindness, gentle firmness, and he said, you probably feel like there's nobody else that's went through this besides you. I said, yes. He almost took the words out of my mouth. He said, you're not the only one. You're not the only one tonight if the devil is trying to bring some sort of confusion or something that you feel like that there's nobody can understand me. I want to tell you all, we've got a captain that knows how to understand you because he was made a little lower just like you and I. He was made human just like us. A little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So He has been through things that you and I yet haven't been through. He has experienced all these things, and because He has, He's been made, He's experienced these things as human, as flesh. He knows how, and we're going to get there, He knows how to help you and I. For it became Him. Or in other words, it was proper, it was good for Him to be as the captain of our salvation. It was proper, it was right for Him to relate to you and I on this level by being walking in same boots that we walk in. That's the reason why. The Lord Himself wanted you and I to have abundance of reason for our confidence and faith in our captain. For in it became Him, For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory. Oh, this lets us to know a little bit about the heart of God and His desire and His Son. This lets us many sons into glory. That's His desire. It's not His will that you fall by the wayside. It's not His will that you become discouraged. It is His will that we become revived tonight. Reinvigorated, re-inspired. That's what God wants. I know, I understand, because I've been over this road. The devil will do all he can to wear you down, to bring you to the place that you feel like it's nearly not worth it anymore. And you can read a scripture that talks about God's response to you and I, and how willing the righteous run into Him and are safe, and at this moment you don't even feel safe at all. He said yes. I'm telling you, I'm saying that because I've been there. I've been there. But even there we have a captain. Even there. When nothing seems to make sense and you don't know where the next step needs to land. Purpose in your heart even so that I'm going to walk the way that goes toward heaven. Though my eyes can't understand it very well and I don't know which way hearted to go, but my heart, Lord, if You'll just let me step one more step, I'm going that way. And the Lord will bring you through. The captain knows how to guide you and how to re-inspire you. Though you may go through places for a while, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you. Isn't that common to man? We're going to deal. But, oh, in the middle of this, the devil would like to get our eyes fixated on all the trouble. And let's go back to the very first words we read, but we see Jesus. Oh, dear ones, lift your eyes. Because we have a captain that really wants to take you safely from here to heaven. And He wants to give you victory in your heart and in your life and purpose and direction. Sometimes I know you're going to feel like you don't hardly have direction, but continue to follow and the Lord will bring you through. For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. This one that we see so great and mighty, He came down to bring many sons into glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering, dealing with adversity, dealing with the pushback that we feel, sometimes the oppression that we feel even in our mind. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to lead our minds in a place of drudgery tonight, but I want us to know in our humanity, we taste this from time to time. And I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe those songs of 61 about the song of joy, maybe that's your testimony tonight. But tomorrow it may not be. I love those songs. And one song I've used over and over, I believe you know already what one it is. 223 in our songbook. Sometimes I've sang that just to let myself know I still meant it. Sometimes I sang that to let the devil know I still meant it. Sometimes I sang that to let the Lord know I still meant it. I mean to go right on. And I know we can't get there through just our determination, but God wants us to give Him that. And salvation is of the Lord. This captain of our salvation has dealt with suffering. He dealt with rejection here. He dealt with everything that you and I. And I know right now your mind might run and say, well, he didn't know this or that about me, perhaps motherhood or what. He understands. He knows. And he cares. And he loves. And he's interested to be, he wants to be intricately involved in the processes of our mind. I'm using different terminology because this is where we live. We live with things that start wrapping through our mind and sometimes looping through our mind. And God wants to be there. The captain. The one who's interested in readjusting the sails of our life. The one who has compassion when I am in a whirl at that one. He still loves. He knows. He's experienced the things that you and I experience. Made perfect. Did you think he needed perfection? I don't know exactly what all this means, but I think to me, when I look at my captain, he's perfected more in my eyes when I know he's dealt with what I have. I don't want to do violence to that scripture. But it's okay for me to, when I see him and realize that he has tasted what I've tasted and even more so, I have to say, oh Lord, you perfected your lamb in my eyes. Surely you deserve my undying devotion. And I can trust you because I see him. We see Jesus. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified. I think in this verse, these terms sanctified here, I believe it's referring to he was set apart and he sets us apart from the things of this world. He captures, maybe I should use different words. He draws us near to him and protects us within his arms and keeps us from the things that defile. And they who are sanctified are all one. So the one who is sanctified, our shepherd, the captain of our salvation, and you and I, that he's working with and leading us in a path separate from the things that would defile, that we're both, he's been human, and so am I. He knows what you're dealing with. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Folks, if I was holy and just perfect like Jesus was, I think I'd be ashamed sometime to call me his brother. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like, oh, Lord? But he's not. You know why? It became him. Yes. He went through humanity just like you and I did. And he's standing there saying, Father, these are mine. And he's guiding you and I. I'm not saying we're not here tonight preaching acceptance, that we just sin more or less. That's not what we're preaching here tonight. We're preaching the captain of our salvation, working with you and I in life, yes, in the events of life, all of them, even the joys of life. He's there. Yes. This one, the captain of our salvation. I would like to move over here now into the 6th chapter of Matthew. I think sometimes of our humanity and how easy it is for us to offend, and how easy it is for us to do things that we didn't mean to really come out there. Just this evening, Brother Michael, we were talking about something, and he was trying to be very helpful and kind to me. And I was trying to tell him, don't worry about me. But I said words in a way that really thought, you know, that really, I could have sure chosen some better words to communicate to him that don't worry, we're fine. You know, that's what, but in our humanity, we are subject to mistakes. I'm grateful He loves me, and I don't think He would have let that offend Him. But I was walking away and I thought, you know what? I just need to tell Him I didn't mean it that way. You know, the Lord would like to teach us how to get along. This captain of our salvation, you know, some of the most discouraging places we can find is when we have friction between us. It's not fun. It hurts. And sometimes the devil's quick then to come in at that moment and build up and try to say to me that all these things, they meant to do that. They really felt like that. They really felt that way about you. And they didn't even know they did it. So where does love work here? Love covers a multitude of these type of things. It said sin, didn't it? I think we need to understand the interpretation of that word should be related better to that. It's not somebody intentionally sinned against you, but that this is the, well, we find it here in this chapter in Matthew where Jesus taught His disciples how to pray. Sixth chapter of Matthew. And in that, He began to teach His disciples how to pray. And I believe it's important for us to also understand some of the very principles He put in this prayer. Ninth verse said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven." We see Jesus, you see. Our Father, I am looking now to You. My desires, my heart, my aim, my focus, my tomorrows are anchored in You. And I lift myself to You because I'm in need. We pray because something inside of us, we need Him. And I believe God put that in every human being that's out here. There is a yearning. There's a hole that only He can fill. There's a need that only He can touch. He's the one. And so, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. I reverence You. My desire, my purpose, my hope is in You. You are higher than I am. Lead me to that rock that's higher than I. Thou hast been a refuge for me." Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Oh, I believe this is talking about a yielding to a soul, of the soul to Him. Saying, Jesus was teaching this principle of Thy kingdom come. You know, when we come, if we came to present ourselves under some earthly kingdom, we would come yielding ourselves. We would come saying, "I want to be Your subject. I want to be under Your protection and Your leadership. I've brought myself to You. I'm interested in being a citizen of this United States," or whatever. I want to be part of this. This is a cry saying, "I need You to guide me, Lord. Thy kingdom come. I want You to be king of my life. I need Your guidance. I've come to the place in my life I recognize that I cannot guide my steps aright. Without Your divine intervention, Lord, I know." And I look back over my life, and perhaps you can in your life too. You can find places where you took your own way and you regretted it deeply. And so we come to Him and say, "You're hallowed, Lord. I love You more than any. I love You more than myself. I need Your guidance. Thy kingdom come. Teach me Thy ways, O Lord, because I'm desperate. I need You to be king of my heart. Help my mind to think better than it's been thinking. Help me, Lord, to let my mind run on good things and to think on good things. All this other that comes to disturb and it's not like You, the prince, the kingdom, the prince of peace. I need that in my life." And so Jesus taught us to pray like this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This again is a declaration of yielding to him. I want your will to be done in me. Yes, it's easy for us to say, Lord, I want you to have your will in their life. We always do that, but put me first. I want your will to be done here. Even when my mind sometimes thinks something that's different than what I feel you doing, Lord, I want to take away. I want to die daily. I want to take up my cross. And that cross isn't a hard, really. I want to follow you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily sustenance. We need that. Jesus taught us to pray, but it's more than bread, it's more than meat. Labor not for that is meat. It's more than that. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he gave them all this bread. And they were amazed at how they all were filled. And it intrigued their mind. And they came back perhaps for more when he was wanting. He had more for them. But they were looking perhaps for the food instead of the spiritual place that the Lord wants to deal in every one of us. And I would ask us tonight to become vulnerable to his touch. Because the captain is not a tyrant. This captain that we're talking about tonight is one that is ruled by the very precept of love. And that is the thing that guides him. That is the thing that motivates him. That is what hung him on the cross. Kept him on the cross. Our sins put him there, but love kept him there. Because he looked at you and I in our broken human shape. And he stayed there for the joy that was set before him. He looked at the future and realized he could take broken people like us and make us new. And so when I look at that picture, I say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, in this earth especially, as it is in heaven. I don't want to be found struggling against your will, Lord. I'm just human and I don't know sometimes, but I don't want to be found struggling against you. It's my desire, it's my heart's desire to let you have your free way in my life. Can't we at least say that, even if we sometimes look like, well, maybe I didn't do so well? The captain of our salvation, of our soul, he's interested in leading us even through those moments. He's a loving captain. He's not a tyrant. It's not his will. It's not his desire to come and say, oh, I caught you in this one. That's not who he is. He'll come up and say, oh, my son, let me show you a better way to do that. Isn't that what you've experienced? It's what I've experienced. It's not that he won't correct us, because he will. But he does it in such kind and loving and thorough ways that it just makes me want to follow a little bit more. It's a captain of our salvation. He's been through what we go through. And forgive us our debts. He taught us how to pray. I would point us again to our humanity. And those times when we irritate one another. If you live very close, if you live in the same house, if you're married, you're likely going to find some times of irritation. I don't care how good your marriage is. I've got a very good marriage. But we're human, and so are you. And in that process of life, we still have a captain. We still have one that wants to lead us through those times where we can learn something that causes us to be even more stable out the other side. He will correct in love. He will guide in His confident manner. He knows exactly where we need to go. And so His sweet, loving hand reaches out. And we can say, Thy will be done. Yes, Lord, guide me because I don't know how. And then He teaches us how to deal with each other in love. And He said, He asked us to learn how to pray this. Forgive us. Oh, but I was in the right. I don't need to. They were the ones in the wrong. Be careful. Learn how to pray this one. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, neighbor. Brother, forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. And it's not that difficult. You practice it. I mean, we didn't have anything going between us this evening, but I thought, I don't want to let anything start. You practice. I'm sorry. I think that was going over my mind. I don't think that came out just right. And once you recognize that, try our best. You know why you thought of that? Because the captain of your salvation brought it to your mind. He is the one that wants to make us not unified just because we're saved. He wants us to be unified because salvation is working in our lives and doing something. It is changing me. You know, when you came to the altar and got saved and you gave your heart then completely to the Lord and said, set me apart, Lord. I'm going to be sanctified and meet for your use. It's good to do all that, but that's just the beginning. That's where the captain starts really good. And he wants to take you and I right where we are tonight and teach us how to live and how to go through life. And how to revive and reinvigorate and re-inspire and help us to know how to deal with our fellow man. One of the wonderful things that we can proclaim clearly to the world tonight, wherever you are. I know Brother Michael has been in different places as a missionary. We went a little bit ourselves, very little. But wherever you go in the world, we can tell them, look them in the eye very confidently and tell them that God loves you and He wants to save your soul. And He wants to bring you into His family because He loves you and He wants to nurture you and He wants to teach you how to deal with life. But not, we don't need to just say this to the people 1,000 miles away or 10,000 miles away. We need to say that to ourselves. I need the Lord tonight. I need to see Jesus. I need the captain of our salvation. I need Him. And I dare say you do too. Because we need the Lord to guide us. And I want to encourage us as we go through this meeting to open up our hearts and become vulnerable to the Lord. Allow Him to direct us. Allow Him to inspire us. Allow Him to touch things in our heart. Because He may well. And I'm not interested in you. I'm not the one that wants to touch your heart. But if the Lord uses words that comes out of my mouth, thank Him for it. If He touches you, I'm not interested in drawing anybody after any person or any group. I'm interested in us seeing Jesus. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.